Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 23rd day of April, 2020. I've been wanting to interview my guest today for quite a long time, and I'm so thrilled that I finally have the opportunity. His name is Ron McKinney, and I first heard about Ron McKinney a number of years ago, probably back in the late 1980s or early 1990s, when I heard about his dad, Don McKinney. I believe it was John Riesinger, who many folks know as being one of the pioneers of the mid-20th century resurgence of Calvinism amongst Baptists in the United States and around the world. John had told me about Don McKinney, my guest's father, who was an Assemblies of God pastor, who was forced out of that congregation where he ministered after coming to believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace that have been nicknamed Calvinism, Reformed theology, sovereign grace theology, New Covenant theology. There's all different kinds of labels, and there's all different kinds of facets within the movement known as the Sovereign Grace Movement. But I heard the farewell sermon on tape that Don McKinney gave, the last sermon he gave at that Assemblies of God congregation before leaving there permanently. And I'm delighted to get to know his son, Ron, who's our guest today. And he is pastor of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. And today we are going to be addressing one pastor's family's exodus from Arminian Pentecostalism into sovereign grace. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Ron McKinney.
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm pleased to be with you today. If I may, I'd like to give a little history background of my father.
Of course.
And give you an idea of what, in fact, he comes from Pennsylvania, or he was born in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Yes, I've heard of it.
I've visited there several times. I've always liked Lebanon bologna that was there.
Yeah, they sell that even here in Carlisle in the local Walmart.
Well, I've been to Carlisle also. I preached up there at Grace Baptist Church where Walt Chantry was pastor.
That's where I'm a member.
Is that right? And I stayed with George Marisotis, who had a little sub shop downtown in Carlisle. And it was a terrific experience for me. But I want to mention about my dad and his conversion in 1938. We're going back a long ways, I know, but 1938, when my dad graduated from high school at Lebanon High, he went. His family then migrated to California. That was towards it was the end of the Depression, or it was the ending of maybe one phase of it, but they were desperate, and they sold everything they had or gave it away. And my grandfather was in the business of a restaurant, and that was not a good business to be in. So they ended up in California, And my dad shared a room with his father. There were several family members there. And there was a man that was next door in a duplex, and his name was Brother Combs. And I don't even know his first name. I wish I had remembered it, but Brother Combs was a man of prayer, and he used to pray in his room, and my dad could hear him through the wall. And my dad was 17, finished high school. There he was in Los Angeles, and he met this man, and he began to ask him, he said, "What are you doing? What's going on?" He said, "Well, I'm praying. I'm calling upon God. I'm calling upon God to help me and give me knowledge and everything." So he began to share the scriptures with my dad. Well, my dad had never been a church attender. Probably the only thing he ever did spiritually was he would read to his grandmother occasionally. But this brother shared with him the gospel. Just talked to him several days, for several weeks. And finally invited him to go to a meeting. It was a tent meeting. It was called a revival, of course. And Dad went to that meeting, and he heard a message. For the first time, he heard a message about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said, "I was so stunned," because I hardly even knew that he came the first time, much less that he was coming again. And so I was drawn, and of course, in this meeting, they asked people to come forward to an altar. And so I went down to pray, and people gathered around me, and they liked to tear me to death, and they were praying with me. But he said, after about 45 minutes, I got up and I sat down on a bench, and I just was sitting there, and I was contemplating what I'd heard. And he said, "The Holy Spirit came upon me, and I just felt broken. I saw my sin. I saw my need of a Savior. And I called out to God to have mercy upon my soul. And I just sought the Lord." He said, "It was an amazing experience for me." He said, "We stayed there and prayed for probably several hours. And I found such peace and joy." He said, "That night when I was going home, I was walking home. And it was pretty good ways." And he said, "I felt such joy in my heart. I thought, you know, this is the way it's going to be the rest of my life." Little did he know that there were many trials and tests that would be coming his way. But he went home, and he went into the house, and he was late, and everyone else was in bed. And got in bed with his father, and he was lying there, and he said, "The joy of the Lord began to flood my soul, and I was so thrilled with what God had done." He said, "Immediately I felt the release of the burden of my sin." He said, "I began to praise God while I was in bed there. My dad woke up, and he said, 'Oh, son,' he said, 'What's wrong? What's wrong?'" He told his dad, he said, "I'm just thanking God. I've been saved." Well, of course, his dad said, "Just go to sleep. Don't know." he didn't want to hear anymore. And what happened was is that the family began to persecute him. And they really did persecute him. I mean, my grandfather had taken him into the bathroom one time and hit him in the face as hard as he could and knocked him down.
Wow.
And blood going. He said, "I don't want to hear any more about this religion in this house. Don't you speak of it." He said even his mother one time attempted what he thought was a suicide, but it was probably more just to get him to think more about what he was doing. They were so upset. But he found grace, and he found God. He found Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And he loved the Lord so much, he read the Bible all of the time. And he would have to get up in the middle of the night and go into the closet, turn on the light to be able to read, because they would not let him read in the house. And it was just persecution. And He began to, in Skid Row in Los Angeles, he began to preach. I say preach, probably give his testimony. But Dad had an unusual gift as far as his ability to remember. He memorized the scriptures. I want you to know he was a man. I saw him often. He could quote chapters out of the Old Testament. Now, he can quote chapters out of the New Testament. He knew the Bible, in terms of the English Bible, better than anyone that I've ever known. I could ask him, where is this found, Dad? He said, well, I think that's such and such, and it would be there. He was like John Bunyan. You prick him, and he bleeds Bible. You know, he loved the Scriptures so much. And, well, he determined to go in ministry. That's another story in and of itself. And he met my mom. She was converted in one of his meetings they had in Jackson, Mississippi. And she came with her sister. Her sister had been saved. And during the meeting, she made a profession of faith, and it seemed to be genuine and real. And they met. This was during the war, 42, and of course, a lot of people were getting married, and Dad met her and came back a few months later and started meeting with her, and then they determined to get married. And we always said about my mom, she not only got the message, she got the messenger. So they began to have meetings, and he traveled. He became a very, I think, what I would call a man, a popular evangelist, because he had a very enthusiastic message, and he was very biblical in what he did. He did not know grace at this point, but he knew God was the one that did the work. Well, they settled down he pastored in a couple of places, Mississippi and then Alexandria, Louisiana. Then he went to Lake Charles. And while he was in Lake Charles, of course, he was there for 18 years at the Glad Tidings Assembly of God Church. Dad had had great influence, I think, in some areas as far as that denomination was concerned. He spoke at some of their general councils and things of that nature. But one day, and this would have been in 1956, and this is very important to the story. I was in the church auditorium with my dad, and I saw he was troubled, and I was 12. And I said, Dad, I said, what's wrong? He said, well, I've just gotten a message from my mother. His mother lived in Inglewood, California, and my uncle, whose name is Lamar was a younger brother. In fact, he was 14 years younger than my dad. So when my dad left home, he really didn't get to know this younger brother. But what happened was is that his mother told him that Lamar had been arrested, and he was in jail. Well, we didn't know at the time, but he was a third-time offender. It was narcotics, and I don't know all the details about it, but I do know that back in 1956, they threw the book at you. I mean, you were put away. And so Dad asked the church to get off for a few weeks to go out there to try to help. Went out to California, and this is all part of the story. I hope you don't mind me telling all of this, but it is very, very, very important to the story. When we went to the courthouse in Los Angeles, great big courthouse, and my uncle was brought in by the man that was bringing him in there, and the judge said this. He says, son, I see you haven't learned your lesson. Well, he'd already had two offenses and spent a year in jail, which we didn't know. But when that happened, my dad and my mother and my grandmother were sitting in the gallery. She said to my dad, she said, "Well, Don, do something, do something." So Dad stood up in the gallery. Now, this is a big Los Angeles courthouse, one they have on television all the time. And you don't stand up in a gallery and speak to the judge. That's contempt of court. And And he said, "Your Honor," said, "I'm the defendant's brother, and I'm from Louisiana. May I speak to you?" And the judge says, "Well, this is highly unusual. I don't know." He said, "Come back here." So they went back into the chamber, and Lamar and Dad went back. My dad said to the judge, he said, "Sir, he is guilty. He's not innocent. I know that." And my uncle said, you know, he said, "Well, I was thinking, Don, you come here to help me?"
What kind of brother are you?
Yes, sir. Well, anyway, after he pled with the judge, you know, about the fact his mother was older when he was born. She was something like 44 or 5. And, you know, the fact that, you know, his dad died when he was young. He didn't have any help. Well, the judge said this, and this is what's interesting to me. He said, "I don't know why I'm going to do this. I don't know why." And, you know, all I can think about is how God works his will and how he worked in that situation. Because he was the man that was before him that was brought up before the judge. He got 7 years in San Quentin. He was a two-time offender. Lamar is a three-time offender. Well, the judge's heart was changed. And he says, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you in the custody of your brother." And he said, "I'm going to give you a fine. And you," he said, "you listen to your brother's servants." Well, Lamar hadn't been in church in all of his life. So we took home this man from Los Angeles, California, convicted criminal, to our home in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we had a very simple life. In fact, we went to bed 8:30 and 9 o'clock at night, that sort of thing. We didn't listen to, we had no television, nothing. It was a very simple life. And Lamar was miserable. He was with us. He'd go outside to smoke, and he said, "Man, I'd rather be in the tank than to be here." He was just uncomfortable.
Wow.
That said to the people of the church. He said to the people of the church, he said, "Now, don't bother him." He did say this. He said, "If God's going to save him, he's going to do the work." And this is the amazing thing. Here's a man who had no knowledge whatsoever of the scriptures. I mean, he didn't know, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." He didn't know anything. But Dad said to him, he had two things that he said to him. Number one, "You must go to church. Number two, you can't touch my wife."
I mean,
he didn't know him. This man's 21 years old, and he's a rounder. Man, he had been around. He'd been in street gangs and things of that nature. So who knew what would happen? But anyway, he said, "You've got to go to church." And 11 days. From the day he came to Lake Charles, on a Wednesday night, a simple Bible study, I was there, and he was in the back pew, and he began to shake, and I'm not trying to be melodramatic here, this is the truth, he shook physically, and he came under such great conviction. And he ran down the side of the aisle there, and there were altars, and he flung himself on this altar, and he began to groan and moan and say, "Oh, God, oh, God." And I mean, prayed like that for an hour or more. And finally, there was release. And he began to praise and thank God. And Dad was talking to him about Jesus and praising Jesus and giving him the glory for salvation. Well, my uncle took my dad's Bible and he placed it in his hands, in my dad's hands, and he says, "Don, teach me." And they stayed up all night long, Chris. All night long. And Dad just poured out to him the joy of knowing Jesus and having this, our sins forgiven. That Jesus took our place. He was our substitute. Oh, it was tremendous. And Lamar began to study and read. Well, he couldn't get a job because he's a convicted criminal. So Dad had him move along at the church and do things like that. But the rest of the time he studied, and he began to memorize the Bible. And Lamar has a tremendous mind, or had a tremendous mind. And what he would do is he'd take the scriptures, and he'd have me sit down. I was 12, and he'd say, "Listen to me, Ronnie. And he'd quote, "God in sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things." He memorized the entire book of Hebrews, and he'd only been converted for about 3 or 4 months. He loved the scriptures, and he studied constantly. Well, he studied dispensationalism. And he drew charts and all of that sort of thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all of that gave him a background. And, he wanted to go to school. And so this is what happened. They pled to the judge. And, of course, the judge thought he had done a great rehabilitation job. This is about 3 years later. And so he gave him permission to come back to Los Angeles. He stayed with his mom, and he went to a Bible school. And I must tell you this, because this is funny to me, but it's Lamar. He went there, and he said, "I want to study Greek." Well, he said, you're going to have to take remedial English. You're starting from the bottom. And he said, "Well, if I take the course Greek, and if I pass the test, can I go into the next semester?" And, of course, they laughed. Well, at the end of the semester, he had all A's, including the Greek. And so they thought he may have cheated, so they brought him in. I said, "Well, how did you do it?" He said, "Well, I just memorized the first 10 chapters of the Greek text. I got all the endings of Euo and so forth, you know." He knew the ending. He knew how to put him down, but he didn't know exactly how all of it put together. But that's what started. Then he went to school, and he studied Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. He was a linguist. And I'm going to tell you what. But while he was in school, there was a professor he had. In fact, it was his Greek professor said, "Now, if you want to know who is the best in this, you need to go see Augustine. You need to see Augustus Strong. Or, you know, Charles Hodge is supposed to be the best in this." Well, he would go and get those books, and he would read them. And he stumbled, and I say stumbled, with the grace of God, and it's providential, on the subject of God's electing love. God chose us before the foundation of the world. And when he saw that, it's like a light went off, you know. And he was just amazed, and he began to study. And so he began to write to my dad back in Lake Charles, telling him what's going on. Now, Lamar graduated top of his class, summa cum laude. He was brilliant. And he studied. In fact, he was so good in Greek that some of his professors were afraid of him in their class because he would correct them. But he was just, he was so diligent. He always wanted to know, what does the scripture say? And so he came back to Lake Charles. After graduation, he met a lady, Paulette Asanto, that I actually introduced them. I feel good about it because it was a great marriage. And ended up, my uncle died just 2 months after my dad in 09. And he was teaching, and he had a business, but he also taught in the church, and then he did some in a seminary that was close by in Texas. But it was that time, in 1970, Chris, I just went back to Lake Charles, the Heritage Baptist Church, for their 50th anniversary. Because on March the 3rd, 1970, my dad preached a message. And it was found in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, that he's chosen to you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. And there was an uprising in the church. It started earlier because Lamar had been teaching in the evenings to some of the men, and then he taught a youth class. And all of these people were beginning to see election and predestination. Of course, predestination was a word that in Assemblies of God, you just didn't mention. You didn't, that was not even in, they didn't find it in the Bible. But what happened was my dad was then taken, and they interviewed him by the presbyters, and all he did that day as they interviewed him, he preached to them about the sovereign grace of God. And at the end, these men, these presbyters said, "We don't know how to refute you. You know more Bible than we do." And so they didn't have any answer. All they would say was, "Now, the Baptists believe this, and the Presbyterians believe this, and the Assembly of God believe this." And that's a poor, poor way of presenting what you believe. Listen, you got to know what you believe. And Dad, he was so full of the truth. He was just well, the next day, they had a service in the church. And the church had grown immensely. Dad had been on television for several years, and they had this beautiful rendering of a church they were going to build on new property they'd gotten. In fact, that church became one of the largest in the city. I think they had 5,000 or 6,000 members in attendance.
And, wow.
I mean, it was a big work, you know. And but he loved truth. And as he said in that message that you mentioned, Chris, his last message to Glad Tidings, which is on sermon audio, and it's worth listening to. But he says, "If I have to push a fruit cart down the streets of Lake Charles, I'm going to believe this truth."
Hallelujah.
He was committed. It was kind of a, now, you have to understand this. There was no one that we knew, brother, not one person we knew in the world who believed in grace. Not one.
Wow.
The Assemblies of God certainly didn't believe in it. No. And the Presbyterians in the city didn't believe in it. And the Baptists didn't believe it.
Not even the Presbyterians.
No. They were as liberal as they could be.
Oh, okay.
And here we were. We didn't have anybody. And it took 6 months later, they started to work. What happened was is that there were about 80, 90 people who came out of the church when Dad left, and they started a new work down at the city hall. And you talk about difficult, because Dad had was on television showing this beautiful rendering of a big church they were going to be building. And the next Sunday's on and saying, "I'm starting a new work." I mean, when I was going up the steps of that city hall where we were meeting, the devil said to me, "You're a fool. You're a fool. Look what you've given up." And you know, I honor my dad and his commitment. He loved truth more than anything else in the world. It affected his children, his family, his income. I've always said about him, you know, he gave up everything. And for the next 2 years, he had no salary. I mean, he was just, he loved God and he loved the truth. And Lamar, they were teamed together, I guess you would say, in the establishing of a new work. And of course, now in Lake Charles, there's a fine church, a Baptist church that holds the grace.
Praise God.
Truth. And I was there and they had over 200 people there in attendance. And it's solid. It's solid. It's not a lot of fluff. The pastor there is Shane Kastner, and he preaches the gospel. He's very faithful to preach the gospel. So now I was in Memphis at this time in 1970. I was in one of the largest churches in the Assemblies of God. We had 3,500 members. I was pastoring there, and what happened was, of course, all of this stirred up interest in what I believed, and I don't know how much time I've got, brother, but...
In fact, you know what I think we should do, since we should have already done it, I don't have to interrupt you in mid-sentence. I'm going to go to my first commercial break, and we'll pick up right where you left off there. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen at gmail.com. And as always, please at least give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a Pentecostal, and you are starting to rethink some of the things that you've taught and believed. You have a searching heart to hear more and learn more about the doctrines of grace, and you'd rather not draw attention to yourself. You don't want to be at odds with your pastor or the congregation or the denomination. Perhaps you're even a pastor yourself, and you're having these same questions arising in your mind and heart that are making you doubt some of what you're experiencing in life and in the church. obviously, those are reasons why you might want to remain anonymous, and there may be others as well. But if it's just a general question about Ron McKinney's story, about theology, then please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. And don't go away. We're going to be right back with Ron McKinney of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, right after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformed.com. hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is Pastor Ron McKinney of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. And we are discussing one pastor's family's exodus from Arminian Pentecostalism into sovereign grace. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And by the way, folks, I would want to make it clear that my reasons for doing today's program is because I love the doctrines of sovereign grace. I love them with a passion, and I want to shout these things from the rooftops. It has nothing to do with my hatred or my looking down upon my Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and sisters in Christ. I have learned a great deal from Pentecostal and charismatic friends, and on many occasions they have proven themselves to be far superior to me in their godliness and their walk with Christ, and just a very impressive way of being so bold about their faith and so on. Now, obviously, I believe that there are many under that term, Pentecostalism, that are false professors. Some of them are wolves in sheep's clothing, like those that are in the Word of Faith movement, especially the leaders and the media personalities in that movement. There are multitudes of fine, outstanding Pentecostals and Charismatics. And in fact, one of the major financial supporters of this radio program is an Assemblies of God elder, but he also has come to believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace. Another friend of mine who was a overseer on Long Island, New York, he was a bishop in the Assemblies of God, Al Stein, he came to believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, all 5 points of Calvinism, and beyond that, he was a precious, dear brother in Christ, and tragically, a number of years ago, perished in an automobile accident. But I do know folks from these backgrounds that have come to believe in these truths. Some have remained non-cessationists or continuists, and some have left the belief in the sign gifts being present today altogether. But I just wanted to make that clear, that this is not being done out of arrogance or snobbery or sectarian spirit, but this is being done because I and my guests love the doctrines of sovereign grace, and I am never going to be embarrassed by them. I'm never going to subdue or dilute my enthusiasm over them. If you could, Ron, pick up where you left off in your testimony.
Well, I think what I was beginning to tell a little bit about my own journey which...
Yes, you were being challenged by folks because they had heard about your dad's transformation.
Well, that was part of it. I'm going to go back just a little bit further, because while we were in Lake Charles, my uncle was there teaching in the church, and he was in business, and my dad was pastor, and my brother was an evangelist, and I was the youth pastor there. And, of course, when we would sit down, I'm talking about the four of us, my dad, my uncle, my brother, and myself, we would discuss the scriptures. And this is all before anything had happened. And it was kind of an amazing thing how we would sit there and we would study as much as a day, all day long. Just so, every time we'd read through the book of John, and then when we come to something, you know, it was just God would open up for us something new. Now, remember, we didn't know anything. We knew very little, but we were coming to the knowledge of it. And it was just like, I was as excited about it as if it were, you know, people get excited about ball games or whatever. That was how excited we were about studying the scriptures. And in John, you know, no one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And all of a sudden, you know, that meant something to us. You know, we were just learning. And so I left, and I went to the largest church at that time in the Assemblies of God in Memphis, Tennessee, First Assembly, 3,500 members. And so I was in a position of being able to move up, as they would say, to the ladder. You get opportunities, you know, as you move up. But I was there, and it was during that time that I began studying. I read books like The Forgotten Spurgeon by Ian Murray.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
I read A.W. Pink's book on the sovereignty of God, and it just blew my mind.
That has blown a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. And I had gotten, while I was in college, I had, let's see, his name, Ed Smith was his last name. He was the clerk of the PCA for 17 years. And,
was it Frank Smith?
It wasn't Frank. I'm trying to remember it. I want to say Milton's, but it's not Milton. But anyway, what happened was is I was in his OTBT class, an Old Testament class, and he had some books for sale, and he had one titled The Reform Doctrine of Predestination.
By Wayne Bettner.
Oh, yeah. That was one. I bought that for $1. For $1.
Wow, that's a big book.
I'm telling you, and I got it, and I didn't have much in my shelves in my room, but I got that, and I took it home, and my dad read it. And this is part of all of this coming together before he left the denomination. It was something that, you know, he was reading and studying. Well, we were getting all of this, and it was becoming so real to us that we couldn't keep it to ourselves. So I was in this church in Memphis, and one time I was going into the class. I was teaching a college career class. They had about 200 in the class, and they had a president who was in the class who was going to do a devotional. And he gets up and he reads from Matthew chapter 10, I believe it was, and he said, you know, that where Jesus said, it's not given unto you to know the mysteries, but it's given to us. And he says, Ron, it sounds like they're not supposed to know. And I was in the back of the room getting ready to do a study. And as I was walking to the front of the class, I remember distinctly, I said, Lord, you don't want me to keep this to myself. You don't want me. And I went up there, and you know what I did? I had someone to read the scriptures in Romans chapter 9. Well, this young lady that read it, and then she read it, it was a kind of a modern translation. It gets to, when it gets to the point there, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so she says, but that's not fair. And I said, well, read what the scripture says. And the very next verse in her modern translation says, that's not fair.
I've never heard it rendered that way, but that's interesting.
Exactly the way she said it was in the scripture that way. So I said, see, you got the same argument. And of course, even when it went further, you know, she said it just like that in the objection chair. Now, how can God hold a man responsible? Well, that's exactly what that scripture said. You see, so all of a sudden, I was just reading the scriptures or having them read them, and they were, and I began to, well, now this has probably been 60 years ago. It probably has been close to that anyway. That there were two men in that classroom. Now, this is in Memphis at First Assembly, and one of them has now gone to be with the Lord. I was preaching in South Lake, Dallas, Texas. There's a Saddleback Bible Church. It's actually, the pastor there is a very close friend with John MacArthur. And anyway, I had come over there and I spoke and found out that one of the elders in that church was a former youth that was in my youth group in Memphis, Tennessee, all those years. And he was the president that said to me that day, he said, Ron, it sounds like they're not supposed to hear. And of course, I was so pleased to see that God had opened his eyes. And I ran into another one of them a few years ago, and he's become part of a Reformed Baptist church. And I was so amazed that that was not what happened. Because when I did that, I was called on the carpet. And even though I was engaged to get married at that point, I was told I had to leave. And I was dismissed. And that kind of started. Well, I went to a little church in Kruger, Mississippi. I was going back to Reformed Theological Seminary to get my Master's of Divinity. And what happened in that is a little independent, listen to this, Methodist church that was there. The beautiful little church. These people were independent. They had left the United Methodist Church because of racial sort of things, for the most part.
Really? Not because of liberalism?
That was probably some of it, but it was a lot more of the other. So, anyway, here's what happened was I went there, and I had someone that invited me to come. So I went and preached at this little bitty church in the country. But it was God's working. And I just spoke to one of the members. He's now close to 70 years old, and God has richly blessed him and had saved him back in those days. But anyway, I was at this little country church in Kruger, and I didn't have anything to do but study because I was getting ready to go back or go to seminary, and I had to take a course in the summer in Greek to kind of get prepared. And so I began to teach these Methodists. Now, of course, the thing that was good is that they didn't know much at all.
In fact, brother, I'm sorry, but we have to go to another commercial break, so we're going to pick up right where you were teaching the Methodists. And,
All right. And
folks, please be patient with us, because this is a longer than normal break that we have in the middle of the show every day, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, always requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show. So please be patient with us, and God willing, we'll be right back with Ron McKinney, right after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, because solid-ground-books.com is a major financial supporter of this program. We would likely not exist if it were not for the financial support of solid-ground-books.com. Barring a miracle of God, of course. So please, when you're thinking of all the upcoming holidays and special occasions for buying gifts, whether they are for Christians or non-Christians, because you can edify your brothers and sisters in Christ with fine Christian literature, and you can evangelize those whom you know and love who are lost, that may come to know Christ and experience the gift of eternal life through reading the gospel found within the pages of these books. Well, remember, with Mother's Day coming up, what a perfect way to give a gift that has the gift of eternal life in it from solid-ground-books.com. Don't forget about Father's Day the following month. Don't forget about graduation gifts and going back to school gifts and birthdays and wedding anniversaries and get-well-soon gifts and bereavement gifts for those mourning the loss of a loved one. No matter what the occasion is, and also don't forget about replenishing your own library to edify yourself. Go to solid-ground-books.com for the finest in Christian literature, proclaiming, declaring, and teaching the doctrines of sovereign grace from the past and the present. That's solid-ground-books.com. And please tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and thank them for helping us remain on the air through their financial support. Before we return to our guest today, Ron McKinney, who is pastor of the Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, and we are discussing one pastor's family's exodus from Arminian Pentecostalism into sovereign grace, I just have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, folks, I was sad to announce, and I will repeat my announcement for those of you who are looking forward to attending the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. That has been canceled due to the continued restrictions on public gatherings, especially here in the state of Pennsylvania. So we will let you know when we have rescheduled that event, and God willing and prayerfully, it will be soon. We were looking forward to having Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, be our keynote speaker. He is, I believe, the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth, and I'm not exaggerating. He can't even leave the country, at least to enter into the United States, due to the restrictions on travel right now as well. So hopefully we'll be giving you good news about that very soon. And folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you look forward to the guests and the topics that we have on this program that frequently are never heard anywhere else. You love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your friends and loved ones. You love receiving books for free when we are giving them away during interviews with authors. Well, please, folks, if you really love the show, help us remain on the air by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. If you would like to advertise with us, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately, because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars just as much as we are in urgent need of your donations. We have temporarily, hopefully only temporarily, lost two of our largest advertisers due to the pandemic hysteria going on. These two sponsors, their own businesses, were horribly affected by the hysteria across this nation and globally. So I'm asking you to please help us replenish that which was lost so we can remain on the air. Once again, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail in a check via snail mail made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please remember, folks, especially during these times when churches are hurting financially due to this pandemic hysteria, I ask of you, please don't siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God and Holy Scripture: to provide for your family and to provide for your church. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of Scripture, but if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, I'm asking you, please, to help us remain on the air by giving as generously and as frequently as you possibly can to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. A lot of you have recreational things that you used to love being involved in that you haven't been due to the enforced quarantine that we've been going on, that's been going on. You haven't been able to go to your favorite sporting events. You haven't been able to go to movies or theatrical performances or concerts or Bible conferences or other things that used up a lot of your extra money. Well, I'm asking you to please use some of that money to help us remain on the air. And we would be forever grateful to you. And I am so grateful to God and grateful to you, those of you who are listening, who have been answering my urgent plea for donations. We were in a really dry and thirsty land for a while. Our donations had almost completely evaporated for some reason. But now the trickle is coming in and it's getting stronger. Those of you who really want the show to continue existing have been responding, and I thank God for you. And it's especially exciting, perhaps, to know that there are people that I've never heard from before who are donating quite generously to this broadcast. And, of course, there are those faithful, loyal, monthly supporters that have been giving, just as they always have been. So I really thank God for you. And, folks, one more thing. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. There's no such thing as a lone wolf, maverick Christian in the New Testament who either bounces from church to church to church and never joins any of them or never goes to any church. That's just foreign to the Scriptures. So if you're living that way, you're living in sin, and or you're a false professor, one or the other. If you don't love the people of God and you don't love to worship with them, then there's something seriously wrong there. Please rectify that situation. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. I've already helped many people all over the planet find churches near them that many of these folks have either joined and become members of these churches, or they have visited them when they're on vacation, or they have recommended them to family, friends, and loved ones who don't have a church home of their own. So please send me an email if you need help finding a church to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Ron McKinney, the pastor of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, as we continue our discussion on one pastor's family's exodus from Arminian Pentecostalism into sovereign grace. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Pastor Ron, when we left off, you were teaching a Methodist church that had left the United Methodist denomination, and you were a believer in sovereign grace at this time. And so pick up the story where you left off.
Well, I had been in this larger church in Memphis, and I left there, and I was defrocked, I guess you would say, because I believed in eternal security. One of the tenets of the denomination was they do not believe in eternal security, that you could lose your salvation.
Right, and that seems to be the biggest issue they have with all of Calvinism.
That was the biggest issue, because they didn't even have any idea what I was talking about when I was talking about election. it was an interesting thing. I had to fill out a form every year if my beliefs had changed. I was honest, and I told them, yes, I did have a change, and of course then I was scrutinized and brought in before some of the presbyters to talk with them. And I just simply told them what I believed, and it was not sufficient. So I was defrocked. And, in one way it was fine, but another way I was losing everything that I'd had up until that time. And I say this in the sense of my security, the people that I knew. I had been in this denomination all of my life for 27 years, and now I was out on my own. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I'm going to tell you, it was an amazing thing. Within a week of my resignation, and of course I told you that I was engaged to be married, and that kind of fell apart because of this. So what happened was is that I had a friend that invited me to go down and speak in this little town in Crookston, Mississippi, and preach for him. He was a substitute preacher there, and he just said, you can take my place. So I went down there and spoke, and it was the most interesting thing. It was a congregation of probably 40, at the most, 45, and I preached. And you know what? It was so thrilling to be able to have a freedom just to preach the gospel. Well, after it was over with, I had two of the men take me in the back room and say, now, we'd like to know if you would like to be our pastor. And I said,
wow.
They had no idea what. I said, well, I'm getting ready to go back to seminary in Jackson, which is about 45 minutes away. But my thought was, I'm not a Methodist, and I said, I like to preach the Bible. That was what I said. They said, well, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear the Bible. They really had no idea what they were saying to me. So I said, Lord, you've opened up a door here that I can't run from. I felt like Jonah, man. Here, I better go to Nineveh. I had something to do to preach the gospel. So I loaded up my things and I went down there to this little town. It's in the Delta of Mississippi. It's not too far from another little town called Tula and another little town called Yazoo City. And then you have Jackson, Mississippi. But this is all Delta. This is where they grow the cotton. And these people in this church, most of them were what they call planters. They had hundreds of acres. Some of them had thousands of acres of cotton. It was interesting that in the 1970s, they were paying the farmers there not to grow cotton because of surplus and all kinds of things. And so they didn't have to work as hard as they had time off, particularly in the winter. So when I came in as pastor, and I was so thrilled to have an opportunity, you know, to preach to them. They seem to be receptive of me, but they look at me like, what are you doing? Well, I started off by preaching on the attributes of God, which is the best place I could have gone. Because what I was doing is I was reading books on the attributes of God. What's the big volume that I'm trying to think of his name? I have a 3-volume of the attributes of God by this author.
You're not talking about A.W. Pink?
No, it wasn't Pink. It wasn't Shedd. My memory is slipping me. But what happened was I was learning all week long, and I would just get full. And I would get up and I would preach. And these people have never had true preaching. Brother, I want you to know there are people out there that are starving to death. They have nothing. And men, you know, are in these churches that they don't do anything. And they were so hungry.
By the way, there is a non-Calvinist book by A.W. Tozer, if that's the one you were thinking of.
It wasn't Tozer. I can't believe I'm forgetting this. But anyway, what happened was this: that, and at one time, after about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks preaching on the attributes of God, I had this one lady. She was in her 70s, and she may be 75. I don't know, but she came up to the pulpit when I finished preaching, and she stood there and she looked at me, and tears were flowing down her face. She said, "Preacher," that's what they call you in the country. She said, "Preacher," she said, "I've never known who God was before. I've never known who God was." I'm telling you, it was the most wonderful news.
Praise God.
Penetrating their hearts. And you know, I was there for 3 years of my seminary, and we had a revival. I'm telling you, there was a revival. I had another friend of mine, Joey Piper. He's
the president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary.
He and I went to college together and went to seminary, and I've known Joey for a long, long time, and he was in the little town of Chula, just down the road from me. And man, and then we had another situation that happened in Yazoo City, and a man by the name of Sonny Peaster was there, and there was a genuine revival that was taking place of the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you, it was amazing. So I began to preach. And I saw people. One Sunday, this is several weeks later, I had one of the men came. He hadn't been in church in 11 years. His grandfather was the pastor of First Presbyterian in Jackson, Mississippi, the largest church in the city. But he didn't go to church. And he came, and one Sunday he took me in the back. Big, robust guy, probably 6'2" or 6'3", and barrel chest kind of fellow. And he came to me and said, "Preacher, I got to talk to you." He took me in the back room. And as I was there, he said, "Preacher," he said, "this week I was out on my tractor. And all of a sudden, God came and made himself real to me. I saw myself as a sinner, and I asked God for his forgiveness and for salvation. I'm dating, and this big old burly guy, tears were running down his face. I can just see him now. What a thrill it was for me to see him. He went to be with the Lord a few years ago. But I had conversions like that. Now, I didn't do any invitation system. No. I said, I'm not going to do that. If God's going to do it, he must do it. And man, I began to see what. Then this one young lady, she became a Christian, and she learned about grace, and she ended up going to the mission field, and she's still in Japan in the mission field. She was, and this is out of a Methodist church. And another young lady who was in college, she came home on the weekends, and bless her heart, she was so. When she sat down and I talked to her about the sovereign work of God, she was the first person I ever had to simply say, oh, I see it. I see it. And she believed. She was a godly young lady. But now she was, well, all of a sudden she gets a burden for the people in the community. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what the Delta of Mississippi is like. The county that we were in, Holmes County, was considered the darkest county in the state. And I mean by that, there were African Americans or blacks who were there, and they were probably 95% of the county. All right? And that's the kind of situation that there was. There were people who had their plantations, and they had people that worked for them. They lived in houses that were built for them. It was an unusual situation. Now, this young lady got conviction, and she came to me. She says, Pastor, she said, I want to have a Bible study for some of the black children in the community. Well, I knew her father, and that's not something he would have been happy about. I said, well, Wayne, I said, well, let's do it. Let's do it. She was willing to do it. And I'm telling you, it started a ruckus in that little community.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you what. Now, she had it. She did it in spite of her dad being angry. She loved her dad, loved him dearly. But she went in, and you know, I remember, we had John Reesinger who came to preach for me there in this little town while I was in seminary. And he did a great job preaching. And at that time, they had pretty much come to believe in grace. I had taken time during the winter, which they didn't have to do anything in the fields. They were mostly working on equipment. So on Sunday night, I would have them come and we'd do a study and we'd be there 2 hours. And I'd take them through the book of Romans. I'll never forget writing on the board, for whom did Christ die? With a question mark. I put it on a big chalkboard. And then I gave them verses of scripture and they would read them and say, for his people or for his church.
Hallelujah.
I mean, amazing. These people who didn't know much of anything as far as Scripture is concerned, they began to embrace it. And they knew something about election before we even got to depravity. I'm going to tell you what. It was amazing to me to see what took place. But this young lady, she really got a hold of it. And so, well, when John Reesinger was there speaking, somebody, one of the men had been converted. He was a farmer. He and his brother were farmers. And he said, you know, I'd like for us to bring some of my workers in here to hear John Reesinger, because I think they would understand him. And, but the thing was, they wouldn't come. the black community would not come into the building.
Wow.
So what we decided to do, listen to this. So we decided we would have a service in the barn. They had a great big barn. And John Reese was preaching the gospel in the barn. And these black men were there. And I'm telling you, it was glorious.
Amen.
It was good. And I know that some of them believed and trusted in Jesus. That, to me, is such an amazing thing to see what God... Joy Piper knows about this. He knows about it because he was in Chula. And he had the same thing happen around his church and also in Yazoo City. John Reesinger, of course, is one of the men that was so influential in our lives. I say my family. When we talked about my family, all of us coming out, and I've got story after story how God just worked in different people in our family. And I'll give you one. Lamar is married to Paulette. He's now gone to be with the Lord. Paulette is in Highland, Texas. She's a marvelous musician. She plays for a church there that's Sovereign Grace. And she loves the truth. And when Lamar died, she just carried on, holding to the truth. She teaches a ladies' class. And her children is what is amazing to me. Is at one time, her brother and her sisters all opposed Lamar. They just, because he was wanting them to know the truth, you know, one of those things, sometimes it's the hardest people to talk to is your family.
Yep. The prophet is without honor in his own hometown.
Yeah. And then, you know, and it's just hard. They just, and so, but you know what? God, over the years, he changed the hearts of them. And I'm telling you, it was amazing how each one of them came. And when Lamar died, the testimony of her family, there were five of them all together, and the other siblings, all of them talked about how Lamar had taught them the truth. Nothing's more important than the truth about God, about Christ. Christ is our everything. He's our salvation. He's our justification. He's our sanctification. He's our all in all. If you don't see that, all these other things don't matter. You've got to know Christ. And that's what I was emphasizing when I was there in Kruger. And I finished my studies there at Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson. And when I did, I started working with John Reesinger. Are you aware of this, Chris?
Aware of which part?
That I was working with John and...
I knew that there was an affiliation because that's why John years ago had recommended that I get in contact with your dad and you.
Yeah, well, see, John had a paper, a publication called The Sword and the Trial.
Right, right.
And at that time, they had about 500 or so, and we moved everything to Jackson or to Clinton, which is just outside of Jackson, and we had the publication of The Sword and the Trial, and in that we would have articles of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's sermons, and then John was writing articles, and we'd have our other articles, all dealing with the doctrines of grace. And we did that for several years. John had an automobile accident, which he almost died. And
wow, I don't remember hearing about that part.
Well, he was in an automobile accident in Greenwood, Mississippi, and he stayed with this, I think it was a dentist, and what happened was he was bleeding internally, and he flew home to be back in I guess, Mechanicsburg, wherever he was living at the time.
The town next over from me.
Yeah, that's close to Carlisle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he ended up going directly to the hospital when he flew in because he was bleeding internally. It was really a touch and go for a little bit, but God spared him, and I'm grateful. He lived to be 93.
Yeah, praise God. He only went home to be with the Lord just not that long ago. Last year.
That was last year. You know, I remember one time someone tried to say something about him and said, "Oh, John Reesing, you're not going to live to be 65 years old." I won't tell you who it was. You probably know the man too, God just used that man. He could teach in such a way that people responded. They could understand. As my uncle used to say about him, he put the cookies on the lower shelf, you know, where people could understand. And that's true. Well, anyway, I did work with John for a while. We tried to do some television programs. We did some radio programs. And I became editor of the Sword and Trial during the time he was sick or had this accident. And we published. We ended up having about 20,000 people that we sent the Sword and Trial to at the end. I mean, it was over a period of about 13 years. We mailed out the Sword and Trial on the basis. And you talk about a tough job. That's a tough job. But we sent it to all of the states and 43 foreign countries.
Man.
Let me tell you about one that's really interesting, probably, since you're there in Carlisle. Ernie Riesinger was a friend of mine as well, and he spent time in our home.
Right, he's the founder of Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, where I am a member.
I know that. He was a dear brother. I always talk about his conversion because that's story of Elmer. Are you familiar with it, aren't you?
I may not be. Go right ahead.
This to me is the thrill of all of this. Ernie had this man that worked for him in the construction company. Ernie had this large construction company and had a man named Elmer that worked for him who was a Christian. And I don't know much about him, but he was just he's one of these guys that he would always ask you to go to church. Always ask to go to church.
So was this in the day when Ernie was the barroom brawler?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It sure was. You know, he was a ruffian, and he was a tough guy. But this guy, Elmer, just a simple man who would ask him, "Why don't you come to church, Ernie? I'd love to have you come to church." And he said he did it for years. And so finally, he'd always give an excuse, you know, "I don't have good shoes for it," or whatever. But anyway, he gave him a flimsy excuse. And so finally, he said, "I'm going to come." And so he got up that Sunday morning and went to this church. And outside of the church was Elmer. I think it's Whitney Elmer. But anyway, he was outside the church, and when he saw Ernie coming, he began to weep.
Wow.
And he was so thrilled to see him come. So he took him into the church, and of course, Ernie became a believer. And what happened was is that Elmer's wife said to Ernie, said, "You were either going to get saved or I was going to kill you." Because every evening when Elmer came home from the work, he would go into the bedroom and he'd be crying out to God to save Ernie Riesinger. He did it week after week after week after week. And I thought to myself, here's the persistence of prayer. This man who loved his soul, he cared about him and his soul. And he prayed for him, and then God saved him and used him in such a marvelous way. Ernie was with me one time, and we went over to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, and we sat down with him, and we talked to them about getting the mailing list of their graduates so so that we could send them literature. I was going to send them the sword and the trowel, a free subscription to it, and Ernie was going to send them the book, James Pettigrew Boyce, Abstract Theology. Well, that was back, we're talking about in probably 79, probably 78, 79. And then those books began to get out to these graduates. He sent them out free. And here's something that's really interesting. One of the men working with us, named Dan Bates, was a deacon in Ernest Church in North Pompano Beach. And this, and Dan tells the story. He was one of the deacons that he helped pack up the books, you know, or prepare them to send out. And one of the books, so got into the hands of a man by the name of Moeller. And he was the father of Albert Moeller, Jr.
Wow.
He gave the book to his son while he was a teenager.
Wow.
He went to Sanford University, as you know. And of course, later went to Southern Seminary. And then...
Where he is now president.
Where he's now president. I used to have Albert Moore come to Dalton to speak for us. I've had him at three or four conferences where I had Al Mohler to come.
By the way, brother, we're going to have to go to our final break. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I hate interrupting you, but this will be a very quick break. And if anybody, I have a feeling we're going to have to wait till another interview to have questions from listeners. But we're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Don't go away.
All right. Thank you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper. President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Justin Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is the last segment of today's interview with Pastor Ron McKinney of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. I know without question that after the show I'm going to invite Pastor Ron back on, because the time has just flown by like a bullet. I wanted to reassure those of you who have written in questions, including Andrew in Dalton, Georgia. I want you all to be rest assured that we will have Ron back at some point in the future. Hopefully not too long. We have a lot of dates booked already, but we will have him back to continue on this theme. And if you could pick up where you left off, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you, Ron.
That's quite all right. I was mentioning something about Al Mohler Jr. having gotten a hold of the book about boys, and that was one of the influences.
J. Pettigrew Boyce.
Yes, James Pettigrew Boyce. And I got acquainted with him while he was down in Georgia here. He was editor of the Christian magazine that the Georgia SBC produced. And but he came and he preached for us several different times, and nobody knew who he was. Nobody. I'd invite some Baptist come, and I'd have three or four that might show up. But he came back and spoke at our conference in 2010, and we had it at the convention center here. And anyway, God has done amazing things, brother. I want to mention this in closing, that when we came to the grace of God, we felt like we had something that nobody else had. I mean, we felt like we were alone. we felt like we were the children of Israel. That, you know, they found like they were alone in all this. And I remember going to a Together for the Gospel conference, and they had 7,000 people that were there that year. And I did something rather foolishly, I guess, but for me, I didn't care. I knelt down right there when I saw all of these men, and I just praised God. I said, at least there are not 7,000 that have bowed to the knee of free will. And, you know, it was so glorious to see and to hear the singing and the praising of God. When we came to the doctrine of grace, Chris, we didn't know anyone, and there was no one on the radio. There was no one on television. It was foreign to most everybody that we would speak to. And then God introduced us to John Reesinger. And what a blessed thing. John told me, he said, when my dad called him, he said, I couldn't believe that this group had come out of the Assemblies of God and believe what they believed. But God prepared us in such a way that, you know, we loved what we had learned from the Lord, and we wanted to teach and preach that. And the rest of my dad's life, I mean, he preached 70 years, Chris.
Praise God.
He preached the gospel. He died preaching. I mean, that's how he went. And my uncle was the same way. He was so loved with Christ, and he died just a few weeks or months after my dad, a couple of months later. And my brother died a year and a half later, so I'm the only one left of the men. But I'm preaching the gospel, and I'm going to do it till I die, the Lord willing.
Praise God. Well, it turns out, I guess we do have a time for a couple of questions. And by the way, Andrew, in Dalton, Georgia, obviously we're going to wait till the next time to have your request responded to, because Andrew wanted you to tell the story on the formation of Kinsley Drive Baptist Church, but we only have about 6 minutes, so we'll wait till next time.
I would love to do that.
But we do have... Let's see. We have an anonymous listener who asks, when you transformed from Pentecostalism into the doctrines of sovereign grace, did you immediately become a cessationist, or did you ever become a cessationist, or was it a gradual transition?
Yes.
This is referring to the sign gifts, obviously, tongues and healing by laying on of hands and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you have to remember, this has been over 50 years ago, and I would have to say those are questions that I've dealt with over and over again. You know, I know this. I know that God is sovereign in what He does. I don't think there's anything that we can manipulate, that we can cause to happen. Does God give extraordinary things at times? I think He can. I know that in the scriptures, I know that there were extraordinary things that happened. I'm very skeptical, and I'm very careful about when I talk to people who have had experiences of tongues without interpretation. I would be very guarded about that. And it happened, and God can do whatever He wants to do. And I know that God is, you know, the Holy Spirit is free to do as He wills. And I'm not expecting that, but at the same time, I know that the God that I serve gives grace to us to do many, many things. And one of them is to worship and to praise Him and to give Him glory. And I've had some personal experience that I can't deny, but it doesn't have to do particularly about tongues or interpretation. It has to do with the fact that it was just the glory of God seemed so magnificent. I was overwhelmed by it. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I tell you what, God has come and showered me with his grace in such a way that I've had times that I had nothing to do but just simply throw up my hands and praise and worship him.
Oh, amen. I mean, I don't think becoming a believer in the doctrines of grace means you start denying supernatural experience.
No, sir.
But in your own life, did you ever come to a place where you ceased speaking in tongues?
I haven't done that in a great, I mean, it's been a long time, and I don't say that because that means that I don't believe. I have some difficulty because so much is false that I see. There's so much humanism that is brought into it, and it's dealing with people in such a way, you know, it's manipulating.
Right.
I just don't. If God is going to move and work, you don't have to do all of that.
Right.
Let me give you, if I've got a moment.
Yes, you have about 2 minutes.
I had this experience when I went to Orlando, and I happened to know the pastor. This is the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Orlando, a huge church. And R.C. Sproul, they had their conference there this particular year. I think it might have been 93. And I knew somebody in Orlando that was a member of that church, Calvary Assembly God Church. So I called him and said, could I stay with you? I'm going to this conference. And I went in, stayed with him, and I was there early. So I went on Wednesday night, which was the night that the local church was meeting. And I was sitting down front of this church, and they probably had 400 or 500 there. They began to sing, and what I would say is they were trying to get everybody kind of whipped up into a frenzy of some kind. Now, I was knowledgeable enough of that to know what was going on. I'd seen it all my life.
Emotional manipulation.
It was an emotional manipulation, and my spirit was quenched. Now, some people would say, well, you just don't know the working of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm not afraid of the working of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't feel it.
Right.
The very next morning, I went back and I sat in the front row again. There were probably 3,000 or 4,000 people there for R.C. Sproul's meeting. And John Gerstner.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was R.C.'s mentor.
Yes, he was. And they both almost had identical voices, too.
Oh, boy, let me tell you, John Gerstner was speaking on the ontological Godhead. And man, I was sitting there, and brother, in me, my head was full, and my heart was full, and I wanted to come out of that chair, and I wanted to praise God, lift my hands, and shout. I didn't. My Presbyterian friends would have looked at me like I was crazy. I'm going to tell you what. It was that glorious. That God is God. Oh, my. And you know, we just, some of us have a little different feeling about certain things than others. But
brother, I hate to tell you this, but we're going to have to continue this the next time you're on the air because we're out of time. I'm so sorry.
I'd love to.
I could listen to you for many, many hours, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 hours with you. If anybody wants to get a hold of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, go to kinseydrivebaptistchurch.com. That's KINSEY. drivebaptistchurch.com. Thank you so much, brother. I look forward to your return to the program, and please stay on the phone because I'd like to reschedule your next interview.
Thank you, brother.
And I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Amen. Woo!